Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Jala,
jala,
apluta, tatva, udukam, bhartu, dhara,
karmana,
tatva, divishtam, tridasham,
tri,
paridya,
devesha,
panam, Tayati, Bratra, Padau, Vedayaka, Vedayaka, Sadanija, Taputa, Dadbo, the Kambartha, Radara, Karmana, Dashamstri Paratya, Deshabanan Jayati, Bratripadao, Vidaya Krityam, Hridayan, Nijadapluta,
Vidaya Krityam,
Bhakta Vridara Karmana Vadavi Stams Tidasham Stri Paratya
Vadavi Stams Tidasham Stri
Paratya Veshavanin Jayati Vratri Pradao
Veshavanin Jayati
Vidaya Kripyam Hridani Jalapluta
Vidaya Kripyam Hridani Jalapluta
Tatva Dukam Bhartta Vridara Karmana
Tatva Dukam Bhartta Vridara Karmana
Vadavistam Stridasham Stri Paradya
Nadvadavistam Stridasham Stri Paradya
Viveshavanam Jayati Vatri Pradao
Viveshavanam Jayati
Vedaya,
Vedaya,
executed.
Kritjam,
the regulative, the regulated function.
The regulated function.
Radhani,
Radhani,
in the water of the river.
In the water of the river.
Jala apluta,
Jala apluta,
taking bath completely.
Taking bath completely.
Tatva,
Tatva,
Urukam,
Urukam.
Offering oblations of water,
offering oblations of water,
Bartu,
of
her husband,
of her husband,
Udara,
Udara,
Karmana,
Karmana,
who was so liberal,
who was so liberal,
Latva,
offering obeisances,
Devitri,
three times.
Wait, I missed something here. Divistam,
Divistam,
situated in the sky,
Sri
Dashan,
the
30 million demigods,
Sri,
three times, Paritya, circumambulating, Devesha, entered, Vanim, the fire, Jayati, while thinking of, Bhartra, of her husband, Vadao,
the two lotus feet.
Translation and purport. By his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padipajakacharam Jahastatarizadashi Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. After this, the queen executed the necessary funerary functions and offered oblations of water. After bathing in the river, she offered obeisances to various demigods situated in the sky and the different planetary systems. She then circumambulated the fire, and while thinking of the lotus feet of her husband, entered its flames. Purport. The entrance of a chaste wife into the flames of the pyre of her dead husband is known as saha gamana, which means dying with the husband. This system of saha gamana is then practiced in Vedic civilization from time immemorial. Even after the British period in India, this practice was rigidly observed, but soon it degraded to the point that even when the wife was not strong enough to enter the fire of her dead husband, the relatives would force her to enter. Thus, this practice had to be stopped. But even today, there are still some solitary cases where a wife will voluntarily enter the fire and die with her husband. Even after 1940, we personally knew of such a chaste wife who died in this way.
Mandeha. Shri Guru
Shri Jata Pada Kamalam
Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha
Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidam Tam Sajivam
Sadaitam Sahajutam Vadijana Sahitam
Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shisham Vitamsha
Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine
Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine
Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacya Dekshatarine Mukam Guruti Vavshalam Pandunam Yagetegirim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarinam.
So we can see how dedicated the wife was in the Vedic culture to the husband. Since time immemorial, that was the standard system. When the husband dies, the wife enters the funeral pyre to die along with her husband, or just after her husband's death. Of course, we don't see such dedicated wives now. It's the Kali Yuga. And where are such husbands that are worthy of being so dedicated to? But formerly, these are great transcendentalists. Now, the husband is entering the spiritual world, the wife will also enter along with them. This is also an example for the disciple. The disciple would rather die than not to carry out the mission of his spiritual master. The mission of the spiritual master is more important than anything else. Carry out the mission of the spiritual master. Otherwise, life is meaningless. Not carrying out the order of the spiritual master. Why that dedication to the spiritual master? Because he's the representative of Krishna. Because Krishna orders us to be dedicated to the spiritual master. One may try to be Krishna conscious or spiritually enlightened on one's own, but it is not possible. One has to go through the medium of the bona fide spiritual master. Actually, without accepting the authority of the spiritual master, one will concoct so many bogus things about becoming self-realized. Well, I think it's this, I think it's that, you see. One remains on the mental platform. So one has to actually fully accept the authority of the spiritual master. Spiritual master says, do this, don't do that. You accept his authority. This way you give up your independence, doing your own thing. See, this doing our own thing mentality has kept us caught up here in the cycle of birth and death for millions of lifetimes. So now instead of doing what I want, I do what my spiritual master instructs me to do. I may like to sleep late in the morning, but my spiritual master says to get up for Mangal Aarti every day, so I do that. I get up for Mangal Aarti every day. I may want to have illicit sex and meat eating, intoxication and gambling, but the spiritual master says no, so I give that up. So by this dedication to the spiritual master, one becomes very, very dear to Krishna. Krishna Priya becomes very, very dear to Krishna. So this is what we want to achieve. We want to regain that sweet, loving relationship with Krishna. That's our actual identity, not this so-called enjoyer of the material world of suffering, rather than enjoying. So we take very carefully the instructions given to us by Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. We take very seriously this process. And we can taste the most sublime happiness within our hearts, the supreme peace. Krishna says, Paramam Nirvanam, the supreme nirvana that abides in me. Many people talk about nirvana nowadays, merging into Brahman or merging into nothingness. But that is not the real nirvana. The real nirvana is Krishna consciousness. Nirvana means the cessation of the material miseries. One may temporarily get some cessation through impersonalism or voidism, some sensation of being free from the miseries. But actually that's vimukti maninas. It's liberation in the mind only. It's not factual liberation. To get factual liberation, one must be totally sold out to the spiritual master. That my spiritual master's orders is my life and soul. Whatever he instructs me, that I must carry out. In this way, one becomes very, very dear to Krishna. Krishna wants to see, more than how much you're dedicated to him, he wants to see how much you're dedicated to his servant. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. The more you become servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, that's how you come dear to Krishna. Not you step over the head of the Vaishnavas, well, I must be the devotee of Krishna. No, Krishna does not accept as an upstart. He wants you to come through the medium of the spiritual master. So by actually following these guidelines coming down to us from the Vedic scriptures, being very diligent and careful in everything that we do, always at every moment trying to bring that mind back to Krishna. My dear Lord, please let my mind be always absorbed in thoughts of you. One of my students wrote me, he said, how do I become humble and how do I become sincere? You want to know how to achieve these qualities of sincerity and humility. I told him you simply have to keep praying so you can be pleasing to Guru, Krishna and Vaishnava. Always in that mood of begging Krishna, begging, my dear Lord Krishna, please bless me, I can always please you, I can always please my spiritual master, I can always please the devotees by my mentality, by what I say and what I do. This is how we actually achieve the saintly quality, by begging. The more you're begging to the mercy, the more you're begging to the opportunity to be purely absorbed in serving Krishna, Krishna reciprocates for them. Yeyata mam prabhavyante tamastataiva bhajamyam amabhad manuvartante munushabhata sarvashaha. Is all surrendered unto me, I guard them accordingly, everyone follows my path, O son of Prita. Everyone's following Krishna's path, one might ask. All these non-devotees are following Krishna's path? Yes. Following Krishna's path to hell. See, Krishna has two paths. He has the upward path and the downward path. Everybody's following Krishna's path, but which path do you want to be on? the upper path and the downward path. The material energy is also Krishna's energy, you see. It's like the here in Australia, you have two programs for the law-abiding citizens and the criminals. The government has a system for both. So you can be either one. It's your choice. Either way, you're connected with the Australian government, either in the prison or a law-abiding citizen. So either way, we're connected with Krishna. So we have to be intelligent and realize what is the best way to be connected with Krishna. Is it material energy or is it spiritual energy? And once we realize the spiritual energy is the energy to be connected with, then we should study very carefully that science of bhakti, how we can perfect it. Why should I remain a neophyte devotee hovering between the spiritual and material energies? When I can become a pure devotee, completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, relishing the sweetest happiness at every minute, directly associating with Krishna at every minute, in all times, places, and circumstances. You see? Why not come to that position of pure devotional service? Why should I remain a neophyte? Because we start off as neophyte, but we're not meant to remain neophyte. We're meant to become pure devotees as soon as possible. Because actually we won't be satisfied until then. We hear some of the devotees complaining, oh, I'm very unhappy. I don't like my service. I'm very unhappy with this and that. I don't like the devotees, the way they deal with me, etc., etc., etc. We get complaints. But actually, that is your own lack of Krishna consciousness. Don't blame the external situation. As long as you blame the external situation on the difficulties you may be going through, you remain in difficulty. When you take the responsibility that whatever difficulty I'm experiencing is simply my own lack of Krishna consciousness, no other reason. Simply my own lack of Krishna consciousness. You own up, take the responsibility, in that way, fully take the responsibility, now you're in a position where you can actually bring your mind under control. You can actually become a Goswami. Vacha vegan manasa kosa vegam. Jiva vegam mudaropasta vegam. Etam vetam no vishahet dera. Savam apimam pratifim shishishyam. One who can conquer mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. And Prabhupada also said he's qualified to make the whole world his disciples. He said it like that also one time. So this is what we need now in our movement. We need to now emerge. We need to come out of this Godas mentality and become Goswami. The whole world right now is suffering due to improper leadership. There are no proper leaders on this planet, you see. Therefore, the world is going down into ever-increasing chaos. The actual leader is that person who masters these six pushings. That's the actual leader of the world. So we need such leader or leaders on this planet now. That's the duty of us ISKCONites. You see? Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, be yourself perfect and be world leader. He gave us the order to become leaders of the world. You see? That's the order. Your order is to become the world leader. You see? By bringing these senses under control. Mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. These karmis, they're taking us into ever-increasing chaos. It's getting worse and worse. The whole world atmosphere is becoming more and more. Prabhupada actually said they will eventually come to the point of aborigines living naked in the jungle. Cannibalism will become the whole planet will become cannibals eventually. That's where we're heading. Cannibalistic non-civilization. The jungle life, once again, the whole planet will be a jungle. You see, that's where we're heading in the Kali Yuga. But we have a great opportunity by the mercy of Gauranga that we can bring a golden Vedic age to this planet by becoming actual leaders, you see. Those who can actually control mind, words, anger, kundalini, and jungle. No longer carried away by anger, no longer carried away by lust, you see. All of these things are conquered. Such conquering heroes who bring their pushings under control actually qualify to lead the whole world. As per Prabhupada's description, they will lead the whole world. So this is the great legacy that Prabhupada has given us to become the world leader. World leader, world leaders, that is our duty now, to actually come out of this neophyte mentality of serving our senses and bring those senses completely under control. Doesn't matter male, female, you see, we're all men. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, it doesn't matter. We are all ordered to become Goswamis, those who have mastered the senses. Householders also, they can have sex lives to producing Krishna conscious children. Prabhupada said they can have once in a month, on 4 to 5 days after the menstrual cycle, they can join 50 rounds of japa. That is called divine sex life. Krishna says, I am that sex life which is not conchargeable with his principles. So that is also Krishna. That divine sex life of calling saintly children into the world. So whether you're a brahmachari, a householder, a vanaprastha, a sannyas, we are all meant to become Goswamis. That's what we need now. If we can actually do that, the whole world will come to us for guidance. Because we're still serving our senses, they don't take us very seriously. We're still caught up in sense gratification mentality. We can kick that out and actually become the pure Vaishnavas who bring our senses completely under control. The whole world of them will come to us for guidance, how to run our country, how to run our universities, how to run our movie industry, Hollywood, how to do all these things in a way that will benefit the whole world. That's the kind of world now we need to create by our preaching, by our purity, where everyone wants to follow these teachings. That the Christians want to become pure Christians, not these so-called meat-eating Christians. The Muslims want to become pure Muslims. The Jews want to become pure Jews. Everyone wants to purely follow their chosen religious system because they appreciate Prabhupada's teachings of pure bhakti. They want to apply Prabhupada's teachings within Christianity, within Judaism, within every ism. That's why we want to flood the world with these books so that everybody wants to become perfect in their religious path. And those who are philosophers, they want to become perfect in philosophy. Those who are scientists, they want to become perfect in science. Everybody wants to perfect their occupational duty. Whether they're an engineer, an actor, a dancer, a singer, a cook, a cleaner, that everybody will want to perfect their occupational duties by offering them in the service of the Supreme Person. This is the kind of world culture now we want to create all over the world, in every town and village. So that people can actually come out of this horrible nightmare and being caught up in the cycle of birth and death, sometimes a human, sometimes a dog, sometimes a pig, sometimes a monkey, sometimes a chicken, sometimes a worm, sometimes a germ, sometimes a demigod. We need to rescue these people from this horrible nightmare they're caught up in right now and bring them to the point of connection with that Supreme Person who's all-powerful, all beautiful, all renowned, all wealthy, all famous, and all wise. Bhagavan, that one who possesses all opulences. We want to bring everyone out and connect with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by that endeavor to connect them, this is one of those insider secrets, by our endeavor to connect them, we become better connected ourselves. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. And the more you get Krishna, the more you can give Krishna. They feed into each other. So therefore we cultivate very seriously our Krishna consciousness by chanting our rounds with great focus and attention, begging Radha and Krishna. We can purely chant this mantra without any offense. This every day we chant and we beg, please, my dear Lord, bless me, I can chant in absolute purity your holy names today, right now. So every day the devotee begs, or they should be, begging Krishna for that pure devotion. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And after begging, then see what you can do to spread this movement. See what you can distribute some books, or you can go on Harinam, or you can arrange some programs, or you can find some way to educate people about Krishna. Your school, your work, wherever you may be, wherever you're active, wherever you're spending time, see what you can do to make that atmosphere Krishna conscious. In this way, we have to be very proactive in the mood of spiritual revolutionaries wanting to turn world history right side up. You see, right now it's upside down. It's up to us, the Chaitanyaites, the Prabhupada Nugas. It's up to us now to turn history right side up again. So bringing God back to the center, Krishna, whether you call him Allah, Jehovah, or Christ, or Buddha, we want to bring God back to the center. And that's our mission. So by always keep by cultivating our own purity and thinking, what can I do to make this world Krishna conscious? It's my duty as a follower of Prabhupada try to make this world Krishna conscious. What can I do to make this world more Krishna conscious than it is now? If we're all thinking in this way, endeavoring in this way, and begging for pure devotional service, there will be an amazing synergy, an amazing power or shakti that will manifest more and more within ISKCON, that will actually attract the whole world. That's what we have to do. We have synergy working for us. We have so many devotees now all over the world. So if each and every one of us will focus very intensely on becoming pure devotees and doing everything we possibly can to make the world around us Krishna conscious, by that combined synergy, miracles can happen. The most amazing miracles can happen. So let's do it. Let's really intensify our begging for pure devotional service. Let us be very careful to avoid all the offenses, to carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings. And let's work really hard now to revolutionize this planet as soon as possible. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Yes.
Sir Guru, you mentioned that every one of us has to develop that intensity to become a pure devotee.
Absolutely.
So if someone is, like myself, like doing small services, how does...
Then beg Krishna, you can do those small services with absolute perfection.
But then how does it like change the whole world atmosphere? How like is
you're creating an atmosphere by your mentality. You're creating an atmosphere by the way that you're doing your japa, the way you're doing your service. You create an atmosphere. And that atmosphere has an impact on the world around you. Actually, you may say, well, how is it possible? Well, Prabhupada clearly states in his purport, when one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru, and under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. So that's a great power of sadhana, if it's done purely. It definitely has an impact on the world around you. So it depends on how purely you're executing your devotional service. The purer you practice it, the more impact it has on the world atmosphere. So do everything you can. Do everything with absolute perfection. When you hear, try to hear perfectly. When you speak, try to speak perfectly. When you chant your japa, try to do it perfectly. When you offer an aarti, try to do everything in the mood of perfection. My dear Lord, please bless me, I can do this perfectly for you. Everything. Always bring that mood of perfectionist. Krishna consciousness means you must be a perfectionist. Because we're all striving for perfection here. If one is not a perfectionist, that means he's loitering in the material nature. We must all be perfectionists, striving for that perfection of bhakti at every minute. And the more we do that, it definitely has an impact on the atmosphere around it. Definitely has an impact. Next. Or is that it? Everyone convinced now to become pure devotees as soon as possible? Yes. And make a spiritual revolution on this planet? Everyone's convinced? Any doubters?
Well, I don't think that we should even think like that.
Someone may say. Listen, Prabhupada ordered us. Become leader, and become perfect, and lead the world as the order gave us. He pushed us. Yeah.
We was listening to a lecture the other day, and Prabhupada said that while we're in the material world, the devotee should always think that he's in the mode of ignorance.
My hearing is a little, I have a hearing loss, but can you repeat that?
I was listening to a lecture the other day, and Prabhupada was saying that while we're in the material world, the devotee
can you hear what he's saying?
Yes. He was good.
I have a hearing loss, so I'm trying to get.
Well, I was listening to a lecture the other day.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying that while the devotees in the material world,
while the devotees are in the material world,
devotees are in the material world.
Devotees are in the material world.
Devotees are in the material world.
We should always think ourselves to be in the mode of ignorance.
Always think ourselves to be.
Ourselves to be in the mode of ignorance.
We should realize we're in the mode of ignorance.
We should always think ourselves to be in the mode of ignorance, and that.
We should think ourselves to be always.
Yeah, the more you feel you're fallen, that's a very important thing. The more you feel you're fallen, the more that's how you become advanced. Actually, the more you think you're advanced, the more you're fallen. The more you feel yourself to be the most fallen, ignorant rascal. That's how one actually becomes more Krishna conscious. That's the best. The more you feel you're very fallen. I'm a complete ignorant fool. In fact, I don't even know anything. So ignorant. The more you feel you're ignorant, that's the beginning of transcendental knowledge.
You say that we should always think that we have no qualification to.
We should always think
that we have no qualifications.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we are meant to be instruments for that great personality who has all the qualifications. That name is Srila Prabhupada. We're meant to be instruments. They're utilized by him. It's a fact. The more we feel that we have no qualification. But when Prabhupada said, you become perfect, you said, be perfect and be leader of the world, that means we have to be instrumental for Prabhupada's leadership. You understand? We have to be instrumental for Prabhupada's leadership. Prabhupada is qualified. We have no qualification as a thing. But we have to act as his agents. It's like, for example, all those monkeys, you see. How could they possibly make a bridge to the Lanka? You see. What the monkey can do to make a bridge to Lanka? But by the potency of Ram, the boulders were floating. You see. The monkeys personally had no qualification. Because they act in the order of Lord Ram, by Ram's potency, those stones floated on the ocean. You understand? What a monkey can do? Nothing. But by the potency of Lord Ram, those monkeys who acted on his order, that bridge actually floated. So we're like the monkeys.
I read that it's only when they put Ram's name on the stones, then it floated.
What?
Because they put the name of Lord Ram on the stones, that's why they were.
Yeah, that's by Ram's potency. Yes. By Lord Ram's potency, those stones floated. Not by the monkey's potency. By Ram's potency. So we're a bunch of monkeys. At best. We're monkeys. But when we act on the order, just like the monkeys act on the order of Ram, when we act on the order of Prabhupada, then through by Prabhupada's potency, all kinds of miracles can happen. You understand? It's actually predicted in the Puranas, Madhbhakta Samti Bhutale. The whole world will become filled up with my devotees. It's predicted. The whole world will become filled up with devotees. But in this 10,000 year Chaitanya era,
It is predicted in the Puranas that the whole world will become filled up with devotees. So the miracles are going to happen within this 10,000 year period. And we should try everything we can to make it happen as soon as possible by preaching, by pure practice, etc. What do you think? Think I'm wrong? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just saying what I've gotten from Baba's books. I'm not concocting anything. I'm just saying what I got from Baba's books. I've read all the books. I listen to lectures and conversations. I listen to Baba. I read his books. And I've learned so many things. I'm just sharing that with you all, what I've learned from Baba. There's something, do you think I'm making a mistake? Let me know. Maybe I misunderstood something. Maybe I can be corrected. But so far as I know, this is, from what I've read in Prabhupada's books and what I've heard him speak, this is, what I'm speaking is gospel truth. I've heard that conversation many times. He said, be yourself perfect and be the leader of the world. Prabhupada directly ordered us to do that. So that means that Prabhupada is empowering us to actually become leaders on this planet. But we have to develop the qualities of a Goswami in order to do that. Vacha Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam. So the more the one actually brings these pushings under control, he actually becomes an empowered leader. That's the fact. According to Prabhupada's teaching. He even said he can make the whole world his disciples in one conversation. One who brings his senses under control can make the whole world into his disciples. That's pretty powerful. You can make the whole world your disciples. Prabhupada said that. It's right there in the Veda base. I just read it yesterday. So this process is a very powerful thing. One practices it very sincerely, then Krishna blesses one with great power and potency, spiritual potency.
What does Lord Chaitanya say that I don't want any number of followers?
What is he saying?
Why does Lord Chaitanya say that I don't want any number of followers?
Lord Chaitanya said he does not want any number of followers.
Yeah, that's right. The devotee doesn't want any followers. He wants some followers, he's called a bogus guru. Yeah, I want some followers. It's like subtle sex. Yes, give me followers. I want more followers. I will glorify me. Jai Guru. Yeah, one who's after followers is a materialist. That's about it. One who wants followers is a materialist. The Baba didn't want followers, but he accepted followers as a service to his spiritual master. That's it. To increase the number of devotees in the movement. For the sake of preaching, the spiritual master accepts followers, but if a spiritual master who wants followers is not really a spiritual master, he's a charlatan. He's a charlatan. The Bhagavad Guru has no interest in followers at all. He doesn't want followers. He simply wants to serve his spiritual master and he has no other desire. From the order of his spiritual master, he accepts followers. Just like Prabhupada ordered his disciples to become guru. So that's a service to Prabhupada. It's not that the devotee wants followers, he wants to please his spiritual master. That's right. Understand? Nadanam Najanam Nasundanim. No wealth, no women, no followers. That's right. That's the proper move. That's the proper move. Anything else?
Regarding his question that Prabhupada said, we need to think that we are in ignorance, but when the devotee advances, he automatically thinks he is the most fallen.
That's right. The more one becomes Krishna conscious, the more you feel you're the most ridiculous jerk. No, the most ridiculous jerk. I mean, the more you feel that I'm a contaminated, just a contaminated wretch. That the more you actually advance, the more you feel very horrible about how fallen you actually are. That's advancement.
I think Thakur is a good example. When he sings his bhajans, He's just lamenting how fallen he is. Not that he's fallen, but he is.
The more one feels himself to be a fallen nonsense, the more he's advancing in Krishna consciousness. The more you feel, oh, I'm pretty advanced now, Prabhu, you know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 5 years, I'm pretty advanced now, you know, a lot of slokas, and he's on the verge of falling down, and he thinks, he's, oh, I'm very advanced now. And I've been in the movement for almost 50 years, and I've seen him come and go. It's by the grace of Prabhupada, I'm still here. By His grace, not that I have any qualifications, by His grace I'm still here. Almost 50 years I've been here. So, yeah, they come and go. Even with Sanat, even GV seasons, Sanat season gurus have come and gone. You see? But those who are sincere, humble servants of Guru and Krishna, feeling themselves very fallen and lowly and always begging for the mercy, please save me, please save me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Those are always begging, begging, desperately begging for the mercy. I'm so horrible consciousness, please save me, please save me. See, those are the bodies who can make it. And who can actually make a difference in the world. Those who feel very fallen, they stick to the earth of the spiritual master. Those are the ones who can actually make a difference in the world. That you satisfied?
No, yes. No. That's what I'd ask for questions.
Oh, I appreciate it. Nobody else. I like questions, and I'm really pleased with you today that you asked all these questions. These are very good questions you've asked. Really good. Because there's some doubts many people have in the mind, and you're helping these doubts to be defeated by these nice questions. So I appreciate your questions a lot. Feel free to continue asking questions. I love questions. Even challenging questions are good. They're the best. How many rounds shall I chant every day? You know, that's not a challenging, but challenging questions, those are really good. Those are the best. So you give me great happiness to do. Anything else? Yes.
In food distribution, if somebody says no for the books, how do they get Krishna consciousness?
If somebody says no to the books, how do they get Krishna consciousness? Papa says, one time you just put the book in their hand, even if they say no, they get purified by touching the book. You stick the book in their hand, and even if they say no, they get purified by touching the book. That's one technique. Bhakti Shavishan Kicha. You can make a revolution simply by distributing these books. Next.
Gurudev, I understand that we must do the services to the best of our ability, but sometimes when we try to reach perfect, we want to be perfect and we have a result, like we want to achieve a goal, like this is how the service has to be. Sometimes it leads to frustration, and then you can't relish the service.
Well, actually, to be frustrated about not being perfect, that's a great frustration, that's a transcendental frustration. I want to be perfect, I want to do everything perfectly, I'm not able to do it, I feel so frustrated, I'm trying to chant Hare Krishna with absolute perfection, but I'm not doing it. Oh, that lamentation of frustration is purifying. That's a great frustration. May you always be frustrated like that. You're not relishing your service because you're frustrated. Well, actually, if you're not relishing your service, then if you're frustrated, you're not relishing your service. And by that frustration of not relishing your service, you'll find a new level of relishing you never experienced before. Yeah.
But you are not meant to relish your service, but you are meant to
relish your
Krishna.
We're not doing this for our good. As long as you're thinking, well, I want to relish this, you see, you're a little bit off the track, because actually your real programming, I want Krishna to relish this. If you think of your own relishment, you're a little bit off the track. Of course, Prabhupada did say chant to be happy, but you have to know the art of how to do that. You chant for the pleasure of Krishna, and that's how you relish. As long as you're trying to relish, you're not going to relish. When you try to give relishment to Guru and Krishna, that's when you relish. You understand? Here the problem is you're trying to relish. You should try to give relishment to Guru and Krishna by your attitude at every minute. And by always trying to act for their pleasure, then you will relish unlimited happiness within your heart. But you're trying to be the enjoyer still. That's your defect. You're still trying to be the enjoyer. That doesn't work. You have to give enjoyment and then you get enjoyment.
So when Guru and Krishna is pleased, so what is the feeling that we usually feel?
When you please them, then you can actually be pleased. If you're not pleased, that means you're not pleasing them. You're doing something wrong. So you have to see, why am I not, if I'm not tasting the bliss, I'm doing something wrong. This process is pure bliss. Satchidananda Vigraha. If I'm not tasting the bliss, I'm doing something wrong. It's not that there's something wrong with the process, but there's something wrong with this devotee or that devotee or the temple management or whatever. Blame it. You should blame your lack of Krishna consciousness on yourself. That's how you become the pure devotee, you see. Whatever you feel lacking, don't blame it on others, blame it on yourself. And that would, and it actually is our fault, because Krishna is making a perfect arrangement for you right now that you can become his pure devotee right now. You see, that arrangement has already been made, but you're not cooperating with it. That's the difficulty. Because of that, you're not relishing the bliss. But you will see, everything is being orchestrated by Krishna to bring me to pure bhakti right now. You see, and you just say, okay, my Lord, please help me overcome all my anarthas. Let me become fully absorbed in serving and pleasing you in my every thought, word, and deed from now on for all of eternity. Please, Krishna, bless me. If you're always begging like that, now, I guarantee you're going to start really feeling blissful. You're not praying 24 hours a day. That's your problem. You're not begging for pure devotional service at every minute. That is your defect. You're still trying to be the enjoyer of the material world. That's your defect. That's why you're frustrated. So instead of trying to be the enjoyer, try to see how you can become the pure devotee of Krishna. I'll make that your intense begging at every minute. My dear Lord, please bless me, that now I can be completely pure devotee, right now. Please help me come to that position. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then, boom, wow. It opens up. And it's like a spiritual world, finally speaking. Prabhupada said, heaven is nothing for us, we are living in Vaikuntha. So if you actually get tuned in to Prabhupada's program, you'll be living in the spiritual world, not in Melbourne. You're living in the spiritual world. Yeah. Every minute you'll be tasting the fruits. Anything else? Yes? Okay. I saw him first, and you're next. Yeah. And see if I can hear you. And to hear him carefully so you can convey it. Probably won't be able to hear it for a distance. Let's try.
We say that Christians are always begging for, give us our daily bread, and that's not a good prayer. But at the same time, we are begging for Krishna for purification of our own things. So how is that different?
To beg for daily bread is asking for some material thing, but to beg for purification is a pure prayer. Hare Krishna mantra means we're begging Radha and Krishna to engage us in their service, in pure service, not mixed service. That prayer of begging for pure devotion is a pure prayer. That's how we should pray. That should be the we're constantly begging. That you should ask from Krishna. That will give greatest pleasure to Krishna when you beg for pure devotional service. You beg for sense gratification, you might get it, you might not get it, and that doesn't please the Lord. When you beg for pure devotional service, Krishna says, finally, after all these millions and billions of lifetime, you're finally coming to your senses once again and begging for pure devotional service. Krishna will be so pleased to shower your mercy upon you like anything. So we should be begging for pure devotional service. Tatenukam pamsa samikshamano Bhujana evatmakatam bhakatvam hridakbhavare vivadannamate jiveta yamukhtipate sadayabhag. My dear Lord, those devotees who are constantly waiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who go on suffering the resultant reactions of their previous misdeeds while constantly offering you respectful obeisances from within the core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation, for it indeed has become their rightful claim. So those who are always in the mood of offering themselves to Krishna, Krishna, I belong to you, you're my Lord and Master, please keep me fully absorbed in pleasing you with every thought, word, and deed in all time, places, and circumstances. I bow down to you, I beg to be engaged in your service. Those who are always constantly doing this, they're already liberated souls. They're already liberated, deep mother in the material world, they're liberated souls. So if we can be liberated souls, we just have to learn how to constantly beg Krishna, constantly offer obeisance to Krishna. And then we're liberated souls. And such liberated souls can have a huge impact on this planet. So we want to train all of them. We want to become liberated souls. We want to train all the ISKCON devotees that have become liberated souls. And then this prediction can come true as soon as possible, that the whole world will become filled up with devotees. Ki jai. Or at least we'll die. Even if we don't do it, at least we'll die trying. It's a good cause. Some devotees want to take birth after birth until it happens, actually. They're so enlightened with this idea of making the whole world Krishna conscious. They're saying, Krishna, please bless me. I can take birth after birth until this whole world becomes filled up with devotees. They want to see it happen. It's like a long king and wait. I want to see the whole world filled up with devotees, and then I'll go back together. Some devotees are praying that way. Anything else? You were next, yeah.
What is the meaning of
Prabhupada
said, chant and be
happy?
Be giddy or what?
Does it mean be giddy, like chant and go, chant and go and giggle? No. Chant and be happy means to actually come back to your position as the eternal servant of Krishna. That's what it means to be happy.
So what does that mean, that one becomes blissful?
To become blissful means you actually come back to your position of being Krishna's sold-out servant. That's a blissful position. Otherwise, it's not blissful.
So, sometimes we see that devotees can lament also. That is another type of bliss.
Well, there is transcendental lamentation. I wanted to become Krishna's pure devotee, but I wasn't able to do it. I am not able to do it yet. I'm lamenting my lack of Krishna consciousness. That lamentation is actually another type of ecstasy. Actually. When it's sincerely lamenting his lack of Krishna consciousness, that is a certain type of ecstasy.
That's what Lord Chaitanya is saying. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what Lord Chaitanya says? Ask me, Sarah, Father, come to ask the mind.
Translation.
Oh, my Lord, whether you come before me or embrace me or hand and roughly, you are my worship.
Yeah, that's right. Even if you handle me roughly, you see. Even a devotee has to go through hell, you see. Maybe he has disease, or he has poverty, or, you know, so many turmoils in the material world. A devotee is willing to go through all of them. Doesn't matter. If you handle me roughly by your embrace, still you're my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That kind of a mood will liberate you from all anxieties. And you no longer say, well, the anxieties come, that's all right. I'm just getting a minimization of what I actually deserve for my previous sins. Krishna has kindly minimized my suffering because of his kindness. A devotee is no longer disturbed by the happiness and distress of this material world. He's simply his happiness is the completely sold out servant of Guru Krishna. That's his one happiness. So you have that. You had a question, hands? No. Tell us how your hand up.
Yes, when we present Krishna consciousness to the people outside,
yeah,
and sometimes they become very upset because they say, oh, Christians are saying they are superior, and you, Krishna devotees, say that you are superior, your knowledge is superior. So whom do we believe in?
Who is actually... say, you say you're superior. Actually, we don't. We say we're the servant. We don't say we're superior. We say we're your servant. We're here to. Our position is to serve. We don't say we're superior. We say God is superior. Whether you call him Krishna or Allah, Jehovah or Buddha, that supreme person, the source of all existence, he is superior. It's not that this idea of different religions is a material concept. Personally, in my case, who brought me to the movement? Jesus. Jesus Christ convinced me to take this movement because I saw his Buddha complete surrender to the will of God. So I was praying how I could also do the same thing. I was studying the Bible every morning. How can I become like Christ? And I was praying, dear God, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant. And then Vishnu Jan Swami shows up to answer my prayer. So for me, there's no I don't see any difference. For me, there's no conflict between religions at all. I'm a Christian Hare Krishna. I'm a Christian Hare Krishna. And this idea of different religions is a joke. This idea of different religions is irreligion, as far as I'm concerned. Real religion is one, to be a lover of God. I don't see any difference between religions. Real religion is the same thing. Whether you do it as a Muslim, or a Sikh, or a Jain, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or whatever it may be. If you have the action mood of dedication, loving service to that Supreme Person, the source of all existence, you're a first-class religionist. That's my perspective. My Prabhupada's perspective. Is that clear?
Yeah, I was asking more in the sense of them complaining about our superiority complex, so that's what the thing is.
We have a superiority complex. Do we have a superiority complex? Do we?
Because we say that our knowledge is perfect, and that if they just...
Oh no, that's not us. That's the knowledge. The thing is God perfect? All we say is God is perfect. Anybody who follows Him perfectly is also perfect. That's all we're saying. We're not saying I'm better than you are. Ha 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 ha. No, we don't say that. We say God is perfect. Anybody who follows Him perfectly is also perfect. And that can be a Christian, a Jew, a Sikh, or anyone. That's our philosophy. Now, if you want to deny his existence, that is an imperfection. Because we can prove scientifically God exists. So does that satisfy you, Prabhu? Alright, anything else? I think we're going way over time. This is the last one, yeah.
As you said that Lord Krishna is also Buddha, so...
Lord Krishna?
So, do Buddhists also...
Yeah, Buddha said, Prabhupada said, one time he said, worship Jesus, Krishna, or Buddha, but do it perfectly. Actually, Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna.
So, do the Buddhists and the Krishna conscious devotees both go to Goloka Vrindavan?
Do Buddhists go to Goloka? The thing is, they don't worship Him as the Supreme Lord. The Buddhist worship, they take Buddha as someone who teaches you how to merge into the void. Nirvana. Merge into the void. It's all zero. No, they don't go back to God. But somebody who understands that Buddha is an incarnation of God and worships Him as the Supreme Lord, they can go back to God. Okay, we'll stop here. Gantarab Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, throughout the whole world with ecstatic Krishna fame ki jai.